What's up, pizza? It's Corey Vincent here, and you are listening to a very special episode of the Video Game Bang because Katrina Law is stopping by to talk to us. Katrina Law is a big-time movie actress. You would know her from Spartacus. You might know her from Arrow as Nissa Al Ghul, and more recently, she is in the movie Death Valley. Cannot wait to talk to her. That's going to happen the second half of the show. But before that, we have Alexander Baggs joining us, and then Larissa stops by for a rare weekday appearance, along with Aaron Carter. Before we get to our superstar awesome guest, we're going to be talking about some interesting news. It's eclectic. It spans the gamut. We're talking about the new Street Fighter character that was officially announced. I know she was leaked last week, but Laura has, she's out. We're going to talk about her video, the moveset, the aesthetic, the name, all that kind of stuff. We're going to talk about the character, give our initial impressions. We're also going to be talking about the slut walk, which is a thing, taking the power away from the word slut and somehow tying that into video games. This is a big news story. Amber Rose was a part of it, who's famous for some reason that's beyond me. But we're going to talk about that and so much more. This is a very exciting episode. If you're not already subscribed to us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, all those good things, so you don't even have to search these episodes anymore. They just pop up on your phone. Other than that, this is going to be exciting. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's
Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when ish gets real.
I don't get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He can play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
What's up, pizzas? Corey Vincent here, and you are listening to Video Game Bang live in our Sacramento studios. My name is Corey Vincent. This is Video Game Bang, and you are yourself.
Nailed it.
I am getting out of the gate quick because we don't have much time, everybody, because we have a loaded show with some of my favorite people on Earth here with me right now. One of them is the guy who is the guy who wants to be the guy, but he's not the guy. He's the guy's guy, but not necessarily my guy, Aaron Carter.
I don't even know how to begin to say that is partially and I don't know. It's kind of, I don't even know. It's confusing already.
I confused you already?
Yeah.
Wow, you are off your game, sir.
Or am I on my game?
Ooh, I didn't think about it that way.
There it is.
If he was the guy that he was the guying for, guying about guys around Guytown, it would be Alexander Van Baggenswiener Van Veenendaal. She would be the girl's girl who's girly can be girl if you girl the girl guy girl. She is back on the Wednesday show. Love having her on here. It's an honor to introduce the lovely purple-haired vixen of Victoria's Secret.
What?
I don't know where I'm going with that.
You really don't.
I've had a long day. Her name's Larissa. Her name's Larissa, everybody. So on the show, we have, towards the end of the show, we have a special feature for you guys. We're going to have a special interview with Katrina Law, everybody. Do you know who that is, Aaron?
She played in that film called Serendipity.
I'm not sure about that.
Where she was a taxi driver that drove John Cusack from New Jersey to Chicago in less than 24 hours.
Nope, that's not
did
the one.
Did you just mix a bunch of movies?
You
together?
Did.
Yes. That's because short answer, yes. Long answer, yes. Terrible.
We have Katrina Law, everybody. Alex, you know who Katrina Law is,
nope.
Right? Well, Larissa, Katrina Law. She is from Spartacus. She is from
That's
Arrow.
Cool. That's
she
cool.
is in...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Who is she in Arrow?
Yes, got it. Laurel.
No. She plays...
Nissa. Al Ghul.
Okay.
Ra's al Ghul's.
Ra's al Ghul's daughter, the lesbian.
The hot lesbian.
The kick-ass chick who always beats people up in every single show she's in. Yep, we got her on the show.
Got it.
And it's going to be awesome. We're going to talk about all that. We're going to talk about being a lesbian on screen. We're going to talk about...
Wow.
Spark. Watch me. It's going to be an awesome show. I'm really looking forward to talking to her. Well, let's talk about the Sacramento Gamers Group while we got a second here.
Oh.
That was fun.
Indeed.
That was fun.
If you guys are not involved in a local gamer group, I highly recommend it. We have been forcefully thrown into this gamer group in Sacramento, California called Sacramento Gamer Group. Is that just what it is?
Sacramento PC Game Group.
We need to come up with a better name, I think.
No, that's it.
No,
is
it's
that
fine.
It?
That's it.
Yeah. Okay.
I showed
who
up.
Who's the founder of this?
Gilbert.
There we go. Let's shout him out.
Gilbert's been on the show before. He is Pinoy Boy Toy
on
Twitch.
Pinoy Grigio.
Yeah, Pinoy.
He's a really, really good CSGO player.
Yeah.
I've actually popped in those streams just to see that crew play, and he puts the team on his back, though.
I hope so.
Really good.
I've seen some really bad CSGO players.
No, what that guy was doing with a pistol was freaking
gross.
Ridiculous.
He carries hard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was good.
His game sense is really good, too, for when to buy and when to save and stuff. So he'll kind of be, like, impromptu captain. So you can actually get a decent amount of, like, strats and knowing economy and stuff.
I was going to say, he doesn't even do it just for himself. In the streams I watched, you know, he's giving his team advice,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. No, he's
it's
really
actually
good.
A pretty decent environment. It's surprising.
He constantly tries to recruit. I see.
He loves Counter-Strike so much.
Yeah, he does.
And he wants everyone to love it the way he does, and it's not a good game, so.
Wow. And that's from his roommate.
Yeah, I live with him.
He said, I'm looking right in the camera, and Gil.
I don't like it. I like UT, though, so I'm on the other side of the coin.
Urinary tract
That's what I was
that's
thinking.
That's a UTI.
I
like UT.
About the
you're
eyes.
Just shortening it
yeah,
more.
I thought you were trying to, you know. Yeah,
UT99, Unreal Tournament.
So I recommend it. We actually got together at the Coin Op, which is a local drinking gaming establishment.
Some would call it a bar.
A
everyone.
Bar.
A bar.
Some would call
a
it.
A barcade. Yeah, it does have a bunch of arcade games.
Yeah.
And they had speed dating going on.
That was the awkward
that
part.
That was coincidental.
That wasn't awkward to me. I loved every second of that.
Well, and what made it more interesting is that Gilbert,
that was awkward.
The leader of this thing, got us all Hello, My Name Is badges, and they happen to be the exact same.
He has a love affair with name tags, by the way. Gilbert, if he had a choice for every party for the rest of eternity, would all have name tags. Guarantee you.
Only if they could be different ones, like sometimes are the Price is Right name tags.
No. He would be cool with the same ones because you'd write different things on them. Hello, My Name, and then like so you'd have your first name, nickname, last name, or just a nickname. Yeah. He loves that.
He's really good at remembering people's names.
He's very good. Because when he introduced
I was
everybody,
completely amazed at that.
Yeah. He happened to buy the exact same name tags as the speed daters.
Yeah.
So during like speed date halftime, all of the girls who were with us were just magnets for being hit on.
Everybody.
Yeah. It was an interesting experience, something I recommend
also,
for everybody.
Also, I happened to go to the bathroom at the same time that halftime was, and there was just a line of dudes with name tags on, all awkwardly not talking to each other, too.
So you
it's a competition.
Yeah.
What?
You're not going to talk to the competition.
And some of them were in different states of inebriated as well. So, like, one guy didn't see that there was a line out the door or whatever, and he, like, walked past it and everyone got to mean mug him as they're like, what the fuck are you doing? We also
you
have to
just
pee.
Peed on the floor.
I'm surprised there was a line for the guys' bathroom.
That's how many guys were in there.
Yeah.
If just like waiting to go pee.
Yeah.
There was no line in the girls' bathroom.
Yeah.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
There's usually always a girls'.
I know. But there's not a lot of girls that go to places like that, so.
Wow.
Depends on the night.
I was about to say, there's your advertisement for going out. Not a lot of girls go there. So,
I had a blast.
Yeah, it's really fun.
I mean, like,
cool.
there were
may or may not have called into work the next day.
A good ratio of men to women there?
I would say it was fair.
Yes.
Okay.
Most of the times that I've gone, I've actually had it. There's actually been a pretty decent ratio.
Single?
I can't quote on that.
Can't attest to that?
Okay. No.
Okay. All right. This is just curiosity.
Just throwing that one out there. Just winging them out there.
Because I saw a lot of couples, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely saw a lot of couples. And that's a cool place for a couple to go to if they're into
I've seen groups of women there as well. But that is one of the things where you can't really tell.
Yeah. I get you. I get you.
First news story of the day. We're just going to jump right into it, people. We have Street Fighter V's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu fighter, Laura, officially announced via form of trailer.
I kind of feel like they gypped us on a name.
Laura.
Yeah.
From
Brazil. Laura.
Laura.
Brazil week.
What do you want, though? You want something
I want
like
a Brazilian name, like a native Brazilian name or
like
something.
What?
Like what?
I don't know.
You don't
one.
Know any
Give
of
me one.
Betch?
And then when I... What?
Betch.
No. It has Brazilian to be name. It has to be something Inyo.
How do you know because it's not Beck?
It's Betch.
No.
It's Betch.
There's got to be a lot. There's something they can come up
I think you're way overthinking it. It's like no. Brazilian people probably have very similar names.
Well, I watch a lot of soccer.
Uh-huh.
And no, they don't.
Yeah, sure they do. I watch a lot of MMA. There's Brazilian fighters. There's the names like Fabricio. And
yeah,
stuff.
That's what. Didn't I just say Inyos or something like that? Yeah. It's got to have something like that.
But there's also Anderson out there, and you know.
Yeah, no.
Besides the name, though, come okay. on. This character is Hat.
She's very attractive.
Alondra.
Definitely.
That's apparently a Brazilian name.
That's too. A white guy clearly Alondra. Came up with that though.
Said a settler came a conquistador.
Really, that's weird. Spanish. It is. It's actually Spanish.
Boom, yeah. Conquistador. Told you. Yeah. Or a Portuguese name.
Celia.
Celia.
Thank you. That
like
should be
Laura.
The new Street Fighter
I
name.
I like Laura.
Constancia.
I like the name.
Constancia. Boom.
The hair is a little wacky.
Feliciano?
She's got like she was
male.
Doing half cornrows and that's... then got interrupted and had to get in a fight with Ryu.
And then had to. She just had to get into a fight.
I gotta fight this guy. It's part of the Street Fighter tournament.
Her projectiles are wicked slow, though.
It seemed like
weird.
A setup.
Yeah, it's totally a setup. Say, yeah, it's a yeah. setup projectile, which is really interesting because, I mean, she has electricity, so and she's from Brazil, so Blanca is the obvious like.
This is her daughter,
call
right?
to.
They gotta be related somehow, right?
Is it?
Yeah.
They have to.
Yeah,
they have to. Be?
They have to.
They're from the same continent.
Okay. Are they?
Yeah, Brazil.
I know.
They
are.
He just likes doing that.
They're from Europe, right?
Yep. European.
A lot of her moves, her specials and stuff, they all ended in a grapple throw.
Yeah, and that didn't seem like it was anything.
It's the same grapple throw too.
That didn't seem like it was anything special though. Like if it was like I watched her trailer and I felt more excited for Zangief than her.
Oh, she's gonna.
Why?
She almost looked kind of like Abel from Street Fighter 4 right now because a lot of his stuff end in it like they're a setup into a command throw. Uh-huh. So if she has a bunch of setups into command throws, then that, I mean, that's a cool mechanic. She had an air throw. Thought that was pretty cool.
She had the air throw, and then there's question or not whether those throws are going to end up in hard knockdowns or not, which could really dictate how the combos will
right.
work.
Let me answer her question. I was excited for Zangief because he looked new to me. Like, he looked like they were taking an old character that you traditionally see the same moveset for and adding all new stuff to him. I've never seen
what was
that,
so different about
I've
him.
I've never
though.
Seen that horizontal hurricane. You
yeah,
know,
that
move.
Actually pulls people in too.
And then yeah, like a pull in and stuff like that.
Also, he has a count or like a hit a super armor when he just stands there and gets buff, and he can take a hit and it doesn't
head
take any
projectiles
damage.
In this one. Like yeah, he looked like he was a different character, but it was the same thing. And I you know you never really see that.
Same with Bison though.
With Street Fighter and yeah, and
Bison's
I like this.
Been upgraded.
Like I like this thing. And Jason Giss has asked me to send me stuff on Facebook. But,
has
oh,
he?
Have you seen Bison's new? This like,
Jason, man. He is really excited. He's
it looks
got
good.
A he's got a Japanese
looks good.
PlayStation account.
Wow.
For because awesome. They're going to be doing part of this early access to Japan only.
Wow.
And so he has his Japan PlayStation account all lined up and ready to get.
To, switch
yeah,
sides
he's
already.
Ready to go pro.
Jeez. Okay.
If you guys are subscribed to our RSS feed, you can do that by following us on iTunes or Stitcher or SoundCloud. You get updated with the episodes as they come out. And if you do that, you saw our Quickies episode that just got released. Where it was the interview series from TwitchCon. So we talked to Alex Myers on that episode, Corey Butler from BioWare, Jono and Matt from Jagex.
From Jagged Edge?
From Jagged Edge, yeah.
What?
Uh-oh.
They're back together?
Yeah, they are.
Oh, man.
So yep.
Sweet.
I remember, you guys remember a week ago I was telling you should probably buy Block and Load now. If you ever plan on getting into it,
I have never been
it,
told that.
I don't
you
think I've been told
no,
that.
No,
you don't
weird.
Listen to the show, so.
That's true. Okay.
I told you, Aaron.
I can't say no when I'm just listening to you guys. That's the reason.
We were under embargo on some information. All that has been revealed now. The reason is because the game went free to play. So now Block and Load is free to play. It was $5 before, and if you bought the game before the first, you get a whole bunch of extras. And that's just it. Skins.
You don't get any Microsoft points?
You do not get any Microsoft points.
No?
That dead currency.
Wow.
No.
That's kind of... All right, I guess. Block and Load, I watched some people stream it a while back. It looks interesting. It seems like, to me, it seems like one of those games, though, that you need a team that's listening, you know.
What is it? Explain to me like I'm 12.
Yes.
You build a base, and you try to
destroy. I'm bored. This is boring. I'm 12.
Yeah, 12. There it is. Yeah.
All right. No, but
that's
so
more like
you,
8 or 9.
You build a base. I've met some 12-year-olds.
Build a base, shoot the other people's base.
It's graphical quality.
Minecraft-y.
Yeah.
Wait, it's like Minecraft. Was it Ace of Spades? Didn't they have that? Something? That was a game like that?
The strip
Can you
club
shoot Ace things? No. Ace of Spades isn't a strip club.
The Ace of Spades? That's Motorhead.
Yep.
That's okay. Speaking of which, Block and Load, though. You're going to want to get on this one. It's free to play now, so you don't got nothing to lose. It's a mix of Minecraft and Team Fortress. And it's
Are there really classes?
There are classes. Okay. Actually, it's kind of like League in that each character has its own unique.
That's in Detroit. There's an Ace of Spades in Sacramento that is a music venue.
Oh, I don't know. I was just, I know
the
Detroit
are you talking
one.
About the bar?
What?
The Ace of Spades bar?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's music
downtown.
Venue.
Yeah.
I was talking
they
about
have lots of
Detroit
concerts.
Strip stuff club.
I hate
time.
That place.
It's very small
it.
And crowded, but
yep,
being
not,
an adult is
great.
Nice to be there because you can sit at the bars.
Yep.
Being an adult?
And yeah, well...
Because they do 18 and
okay.
Yeah,
over.
And
sure.
They have a lot adult-ish. Of young kids in the crowd and stuff, and you don't want to get caught up in that. So sitting at the bar to enjoy the show is
How
nice.
Did that get from Block? Freaky?
I have no
Sorry.
Idea. I was just going to let him go for a while. Apparently, this is their show.
He was wrong about Ace of Spades. Ace of Spades was a
was
game that was kind of like that,
Ace
too.
Ace of Spades.
You were.
There
and
you.
Somehow my Motorhead joke got completely skipped over.
Yeah,
what
well,
joke?
You
it
guys.
Was either bar, strip club, or Motorhead.
Motorhead. RuneScape gets an online card game to rival Hearthstone.
Why
so
is RuneScape getting
what?
Anything more?
What do you mean? Why not?
It's honestly like a nostalgia for a lot of people now.
I feel that.
Do you? Because you're about to say but.
And I see that.
But.
And I don't agree.
And you don't agree?
And I don't agree.
All right.
There you go.
That's it?
That's still another conjunction.
It's
but she said it was going to be a butt conjunction.
I got to talk to one of the developers. Because
your opinion's an ass. You got to talk to a developer.
Yes, I did. I talked to the developer of Chronicle, which is what this game is called. Thanks for asking.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's the game called?
It's called Chronicle RuneScape Legends.
Oh.
And I asked the dude straight up. I was like, it looks a lot like Hearthstone.
Why wouldn't they just call it Chronicles of RuneScape?
Because it would have.
Because you got to have confusing. Name, colon, blank of blank.
It would have got confusing with Chronicles of Riddick. And
yeah.
Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
Oh, is that really what that whole
yeah,
name
yeah,
is?
Yeah, people are just going to call it Chronicle.
It's
I think.
Blank something of something.
That's stupid.
Yep.
So, what about it?
I asked the guy, I was like, what are you going to do? Because a lot of people are probably just going to take it as a Hearthstone knockoff. So, what they've done is, even though it has a similar aesthetic, the cards. Or chips kind of look the same because they don't really look like cards.
What chips? They're using. Oh, okay.
Hearthstone,
you
know, the cards don't
mean.
Look like cards.
I know what you mean.
They
kind of
took
mean.
That aesthetic away from Hearthstone as well. But what it is it's like a storybook. So if I'm playing against Aaron, it's 5 chapters that we're playing against. Our characters are kind of seen walking on different trails. Can you imagine that?
Like, okay, no. Keep going. Keep going.
Yeah.
And as the characters are playing, I'm playing cards to buff my character. And try and deter his character as they're playing through this story of 5 chapters.
Okay.
You get a draw after each chapter, I believe. And
what's so the scenery as they're walking?
Like standard fable-ish looking background, what you know, with cobblestone.
How is action in rounds dealt with? Is it only 5 rounds of whatever?
Oh.
Is it multiple rounds within the 5
turns or
whatever?
In each chapter of the storybook, there's like 4 or 5 different little points where you go to and an event happens. So you can either, if you have a bad guy, you could fight him to level yourself up. Mm-hmm. Or you could send a horde of dragons at the other guy to make him fight. And then at the very end of the 5 chapters, if you can't kill each other, whoever has the most armor, health, and power wins. They fight each other, and there's like a little cinematic.
That's Hearthstone.
Yeah.
That is that.
The cards, everything.
That
looks just
Hearthstone.
It looks a lot like Hearthstone. That's why I asked him.
Yeah, of course.
But the gameplay is wildly different. They wanted to go more of a tabletop aspect, like a.
It is just also a very streamlined Magic the Gathering card.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you said about Hearthstone as well?
It is. No, 100%. I'm saying Hearthstone's aesthetic is not that unique to Hearthstone.
Oh, good lord! Like. They really just
said, we're going to take copy.
But that's what people do. That's what people do with those cards anyways. They literally put them in binders like that.
I see. No, well, okay, yeah, but no, like, this looks like Hearthstone's thing. The only reason why I'm saying like this is because it's just like, it's another...
How else would you... How would you change it, though? You can't. It's a thing that works.
It's a franchise.
It's a thing that works.
It is, it's a licensed title.
All of the lore from the characters and the cards come from the RuneScape.
There's lore?
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Yeah. There's stories to it and stuff.
All the stories.
It's not
the
just
lores.
Horny 13-year-olds.
Yeah.
In RuneScape, there's horny 13-year-olds.
It's Aaron a free, said, it's a free game, so no, they're not gonna play WoW unless their parents pay for it. So if they get in trouble and they can't play WoW, your account's not gonna get paid. They default to RuneScape.
Oh really? Oh, I feel sorry for them. I'm sorry, guys. I've watched people stream RuneScape, and I was like, this is.
It's also for people who don't know any better.
This is just terrible.
Aaron, I wanted you to tell you, there was something you wanted to talk about on the last week's show. We kind of put it off, but I figured now is an appropriate time since we have an actual woman with us, and then we have an actual woman sympathizer with us.
Woman sympathizer?
Is that what you're called? What's your actual status?
Terminology,
Alex?
Is awful.
Woman sympathizer?
I don't think he likes you labeling him as a woman.
I don't think he does.
Yeah, that's rude.
I don't care about that.
Because he's not a sympathizer.
I ain't got no sympathy. Only empathy.
What is it called? It's the slut walk. What is it?
Oh, no. I just saw Laura from Nerd Reactor, and she was taking pictures at a slut walk, and it piqued my interest. I wanted to know what a slut walk was, what's it all about, and why are these sluts all around? It's not a derogatory term.
It's not.
All right. So then what are you sluts doing? That's what I wanted to know. See?
Well, tell me. You got to explain it. Well, how is it not derogatory? Because if someone calls my wife a slut
to
my face.
When I got from all of that, when I looked at the research behind all that stuff, well, not what they researched, when I researched it, it just made me be like, well, then you just, the term slut just doesn't mean anything, right? It's just.
Well, it's like, I don't know. It's kind of like taking back the word.
Because, like, there is no slut. There are no sluts.
It's not that there is no sluts. It's just that the idea of being called a slut derogatorily, in which you have too much sex, basically, is what that's saying.
Is it?
Yes.
But it's mostly aimed as a negative.
It's a negative. It's a negative thing for women because they are having sex when they want to, and if they have more sex than a man thinks they should, aka. Any
guys,
that they're not having with them.
Guys have sex all the time and they don't get labeled like that. And if they do, a good thing.
My friends at school. And
unless they're called
school,
a man slut. But the thing is, they put man in front of the word slut, which already. It means it's a thing. Like, if you call someone a slut, it's apparently charged as a feminine word.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have to put man in front of it to be man slut.
Like I was saying, in high school, my group of friends.
Like 100 years ago for
yeah,
you?
Yeah, it's like back in.
1902.
Way for longer than that. A friend of mine, he was like, I know I'm a hoe. Like, I know this for a fact.
He's hoeing it up.
Yeah. And he was just like, I wear that title proudly. Like, I have no problem with that.
But isn't a hoe more of a specific word? Like,
hoe
they,
and slut are the
for money?
Well, technically, hoe is for whore, and it is supposed to be for money.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
It's all the same.
Whores get paid, sluts do it for free.
There you go.
No, sluts do it for fun.
So, but you didn't talk about who this is all a thing put on by Amber Rose?
Well, she was...
How is she famous?
I don't know. What? How is she famous? That's a good question.
I'm asking you.
That's a good question, then. That is a stumper. That's a Jeopardy.
So, what is she known for?
She's an actress and a model.
Okay.
Is she like a Kardashian?
No, before... No, literally,
she has a position in the gossip pages and stuff.
So there was a thing before. She was kind of a she was definitely made famous by her modeling. She's what they would probably consider an urban model.
She's gorgeous.
Urban? So she's black.
No.
Not urban in that sense.
Okay. she's got a booty.
Definitely. Urban in that sense.
Oh, okay. Is that what you call it?
I promise you.
A girl
Google
with ass
search,
is urban?
Google search model. And then Google search urban model.
Are you talking about like Sir Mix-a-Lot model?
Basically.
Okay.
Basically.
Okay.
And I don't know. They're. But beyond that, I mean, she married a rapper, had a kid with a rapper.
Is she a gold digger?
Dated Kanye West.
Oh, she did? Yeah. So she is a gold digger. Is that who the song was about?
I don't know if the song's about her. I mean, I don't know.
No one knows what that song's about.
Oh, everybody knows what the song's about. But
nobody.
You don't.
Scribes have spent okay. hours.
So she but is she's leading the charge here and taking the power away from the word slut.
But
And they're doing this by walking?
Condoleezza Rice.
Is that it? Okay.
That's all. Yeah, she, somebody with a position of power, I would say, would probably get better results.
Well, she did a video on Funny or Die. I didn't watch it, but I saw what it was called.
Yeah, the
it was
parody
like
of
called
a shame
Walk of
Walk.
Shame,
yeah.
And it was like, you know, if you're gonna be,
I get her point. Okay. You know, I'm proud of you know my body and what I do, whatever. Okay, yeah, that's fine,
but.
Yes, there you go. Now you got it.
But
Urban.
But she, as the spokesperson for it, doesn't seem like anybody would take it seriously.
Do you think she's a slut?
What do you mean take it seriously,
I don't
though?
Care about what she is.
Why does it matter?
Are you tone policing?
Yeah, I am. I'm tone detecting. That's what I'm doing.
Tone policing.
I'm a detective.
You're saying the message doesn't matter depending on what the tone is?
No. I'm saying the message definitely matters, but people won't take it seriously when it's said from her.
Why not?
Because they already, I don't know, do you know too much about Amber Rose?
No.
Exactly. So,
but
in the urban
community.
They literally just see her kind of as a piece of meat, definitely.
And that's what she's trying to take back.
And she's trying to take that away, but I don't see too many people taking kind of a video vixen seriously in that, you know, type of.
How does this direction. How can we tie this back to video games?
Well,
Alex,
I don't know. I'm
looking at
so
you.
So there was there
you
was
decided to talk about.
So there down. Was I Let mean it's down. All with the same thing like with what's her name? Like I mean I applaud for what she's trying to do, but I'm kind of just throwing that out there too, Amber, you know. So I mean,
well, also it's the idea that
she's
I mean
of the show,
a lot
she
of her
yeah, she listens all the time.
A lot of her work is predicated upon being attractive, right?
Yes.
Like, that's kind of the point of a model
yes.
and stuff like that.
Yes.
And I think what she's trying to say is even if she does that, doesn't make her, I don't know, less of an important person to have autonomy over things. It's literally the idea of just because she wears skimpy clothing and modeling
and makes
doesn't,
a lot of twerk videos.
And yeah, but that doesn't take away her autonomy over her sexuality as well. She can own it and also share it, I guess, is the idea.
Has this affected you in any way, Larissa? Has anybody ever seriously gone up to you and be like, Larissa, you slut? And you've been, like, really upset about it?
No, I wouldn't have been upset about it.
I just like someone walking up and saying like that,
you
though.
Slut.
Aaron.
And you know, the funny thing is that like, the only confrontation a female
a
would have is another female coming up to them and saying that. Guys,
it doesn't affect you if it's a guy.
They'll yell it very angrily if you don't talk to them.
I think guys will, angrily is the only thing.
So,
like, if they're hollering out of the car and they're like, hey, what's up? And then you go, whatever. And they go,
yeah.
All right, fuck you, slut.
Right.
And then drive away.
Right. But that would also.
Well, that's
thank
just,
you for the sound effect.
It's just hateful.
That is hateful.
Make me mad. And I.
But
no.
If a girl said it, you said it would actually affect you?
No, I'm just saying that it's more likely used as a derogatory term from another female instead of a male. You know what I mean?
It's not a term of endearment. Like, hey, what's up, slut?
It can be.
It can be if it's from your BFF.
So why wasn't it like...
only from your BFF.
She
yeah.
could have had a...
Thanks for the warning.
They
I will not do that at work tomorrow.
Hey, one of the
sluts?
Phrases
what's
now
up,
is
sluts?
Like thought.
The
you
same
heard
thing.
That one?
Same way we use bitches.
I hate
like,
that
what's up, bitches?
So much.
You heard you hate
okay,
thought?
Okay.
I hate thought.
So thought, they could have done a thought.
What was that was? What does that stand for?
That hoe over there.
That hoe over there.
Thought.
Okay. But it's not referred to as over there. It's not being used for over there anymore.
Nobody's thinking that seriously into it, Mr.
Bags.
Makes
me so upset.
I think just you. It's literally...
Because that over there then becomes there, and then it's a though.
It doesn't even matter. Does not even matter. But
a
thought is the same. It's all in the same category. The thing that was just weird for me was, you know...
But that one's done in a, like, the idea that you're not even learning a name or anything like that. It's an instant write-off. with that hoe over there. Like thought. Like, but
if they can, you know, what if they perceive? What if they what if they consider themselves that? They're like, well, I'm a thought.
I've heard people say that. Yes.
Yeah, I've literally heard. But if you go watch the YouTube video of the proposals, one of the girls says she's a thought.
Yeah, I know. That's.
It doesn't make it right.
It doesn't make it right. It's confusing to me, as that's literally not. It's not part of my vocabulary. Okay. I also don't know how the usage of that word by certain people with certain people changes dynamically socially, because if you use that, you're like, I'm a thought, and you're around a certain group of people, they'll be like, all right, well, this dumb bitch over here. Or if you say I'm a thought, they'll be like, all right, like, you like to get down and get freaky sometimes, that's cool. You know what I mean? Like, it depends on the connotation of the word to the person.
Depends on who you're with and who's saying it to you.
Yes.
It's all the same.
Yeah, that's in more words
than
I said.
It's not, though.
It's all the same to me.
We could change gears here. Like, it's good to talk about the issues every once in a while.
The only thing I can relate back to video games, though, is more of a female voice in video games, which means more women making stories, more women being in things, and...
Doing stuff.
Like, literally just being there to be like... Because literally what they can do is they can say, hey, you know what? That's not an accurate portrayal of a woman. Or, you know what? That's not the way that should be. Just a simple thought like that, and the bunch of white dudes that are there can be like, really? Like, oh, like, how is it supposed to go?
I saw some complaints online when I was doing my research.
Well, they can't because they get fired when they do that right now.
On the new Laura character. She's
a thought?
She was getting like some flack, like, wow, Capcom is hot. Really pushing the boob button on this.
There's a lot of boobs.
There's more boobs in the new Laura now?
In this new Street Fighter V, it Laura seems now? Like the
I'm
characters...
thinking Laura Croft, sorry.
No, sorry. That's Laura.
Yes, you are correct.
Focus up.
Well, there's a new Laura Croft game.
Rise of the Tomb Raider.
I was talking about a conversation we had probably less than 10 minutes ago.
Actually,
about her name, Laura.
And clearly, now I clearly don't like her name.
Because now it's going to be confusing for Tomb Raider. Damn it. Super attractive character, fan service-y. It seems like all the characters got, you know, the boobies going.
I think Chun-Li's always been like that since... Like third
Chun-Li?
Strike.
It was. Just
I mean, she's legs clearly.
Yeah, she's legs.
Oh yeah.
She's
yeah.
For
but
the
like,
leg fetishes.
Yeah.
So
she's
Cammy,
more of an urban character.
But then Cammy's got like a thong on, so that
it's
doesn't even.
It's not a thong.
It's Hubert thong.
A what?
Is there a line for you, Bags, where if a character comes out, you're like, that is just way too much. I'm not going to play the game now. Because like, Armika was another one who was very.
No.
So never. It's
no.
Just fine. I'm just curious because we're talking about, you know,
I mean, it depends.
Identity.
The
and
thing is, what you do, it. My consumption is terrible, awful, bad, whatever. I already play bad video games. I know that. So if something's just cheesecake, then it's just cheesecake, and I will enjoy the cheesecake.
So Sagat gets announced, and his balls are
hanging out of those little
every
tiny
time
shorts.
I would play that.
Every time he high kicks all the time.
Rufus like, was just a giant boob.
He was.
He was
he
one
a,
giant
a
boob physic.
Yeah, a lot of.
He was a boob physic.
they tested it out on him first, and they were like,
and
this could be a
like,
character.
That was fine. Everyone laughed at it, and everyone enjoyed that aspect of it. If you bring that in there, it's a thing. Like if you make the character model and he's packing, like people will talk about it, but they'll still play him because it can be really funny to use this almost hyper-sexualized or, I don't know.
Make it...
caricature. Like, almost a caricature of an actual character
so
playing.
Do you think your tolerance of whatever they put in the game is helpful to those over-sexualized
I haven't bought a game
fighter?
In, like, 3 years.
But nonetheless, he just asked you if...
Well, he asked me.
Whatever. He asked you.
I don't think he attacked me with an axe.
He asked if you... Is there a line? And you're like, no. So literally, I can throw anything
know.
In there, and then Arnita, what's her name, Sarkeesian?
Because
Sarkeesian.
Schoolgirls got a lot of flack when it was starting to come out.
Which Schoolgirls? Which one?
Skullgirls.
Oh, Skullgirls. Oh, well, that one, I could see. Well, I don't care actually. I'm on the whole. I wouldn't care either. But yeah, okay, continue. Skullgirls got
because they got a lot of flack because they did a thing with the characters coming out where they said bust size on all of the characters, and they were all female. And it's like a very old school Japanese way of doing it, honestly, because in a lot of their stuff, they'll have
like blood type,
yeah. measurements, favorite food, favorite show, like yeah.
dislikes.
Dumb things yeah. like that. One of those happens to be measurements of the bust.
And did that set people off?
Yeah, people were upset. They were genuinely upset.
Why?
Because it sexualized something. It mentioned something that was what people perceived as a sexual thing. And it's like, well, that's just demeaning because all the characters were women as well. So it was like everyone had a different, you know, bust size.
I thought they came out with a DLC with a guy.
They have recently. But originally it was all skull girls.
No, well, I don't know. Penis size.
For the dudes, did it have penis length?
Wang size.
Girth?
Yeah.
Length and girth. Both are very important.
George, 6 inches.
Which way? You got to figure it out.
Skull girls. 360.
Would that even register in your mind as something offensive, Larissa?
What?
If you're playing Skullgirls and it tells you all the characters' boob sizes.
No, it only adds to the fan service because then in my mind I can be like, oh, yeah, okay, I know how big that is.
So, but yeah. it's just weird because it's like, you know, when you see those things where it's like, oh, okay, women are overly sexualized, they're also the damsel in distress thing and the women as prizes in video games, stuff like that.
Women's you background almost.
Are, yeah, you would be like, you know, I see that, you know, it's not right, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody would agree with that here?
Yeah.
What?
Like,
I missed your question, I think.
Yeah, it was,
you
it
would
was a question
see that and.
And you'd be, oh, no. You, when you hear those arguments, you're yeah. like, yeah, I agree with that. You know, that's how they're portrayed in video games most of the time.
Yes.
And it's not a right thing. Like, it's not.
Right. Yes. It shouldn't be every game.
Shouldn't be that way.
Shouldn't be every game.
But.
At the very least.
But you're all right with it being in there then.
What?
When you're like, there's no line of.
It depends on what the game is.
Seems like it's okay that it's there and in your face, but as soon as you, like, mention that it's there, that you did it intentionally is when people get upset.
But, like, it's always intentional. I don't think they're just, no. Oh, sorry.
Sometimes it's really not. It's not.
Gave Samus boobies.
It's not, like, but it's not intentional in the same way that someone said
who starts
story
throwing
and stylistically.
All of these, like, fits?
What fits?
Of, I don't like that.
And he's
take Sarkeesian it off there.
It's
pissing me off. Like, who is it that starts it? Is it groups of females that start these arguments, or is it, what is it?
Well, yeah, because dudes aren't going to complain about it because they're winning.
I don't know. There's a lot of white knights out there.
They're not going to start it.
Yeah, they're not going to start it, no.
No,
I don't think they're going to start it, no.
I wouldn't start it.
I would.
No, you wouldn't. Fucking liar.
Like,
no,
okay,
on this
so
show, we would never use sexualization to try and sell.
Not
wow
at all. Not any of the times.
Anita,
can you move that camera?
Anita right, Sarkeesian.
We're good.
That's
she
name,
is
right?
One of the biggest ones, yes.
See, now, I hear her, but every time, and this is not like just a well, whatever, it is a jab at her.
I feel like a Godzilla.
But
here.
Her videos are so boring.
They're so
boring.
They're dry. Yes, they're very dry. Also, they're the classical like thing where she's talking about something and has to use the same clip over and over again to show it about that one thing. So you don't get different examples of it in the game per se,
yeah,
which I'm sure would be interesting to most people watching. But she doesn't have all of that for whatever reason, and so uses either the same clip or it's a lot of her talking with like a picture in the background. It's very newscaster-y.
I would love to help her out, in
but
that,
like,
but not care about the issue.
The idea is that it's not so much that someone consciously chose to be like, oh, women as backdrop. It's the idea that their automatic thought was male as protagonist.
So you think developers' automatic thought is
because,
women
like,
backdrop?
Specifically with, I believe it was Miyamoto?
Shigeru?
I think he was talking about Legend of Zelda. Was that him?
Oh, about the female.
No, link? About how what he did with Legend of Zelda, like in his brain, he was like, "These are my childhood experiences."
Yeah, well, yeah.
So
yeah,
I never.
He, yeah.
And the idea is that he thought of it as him doing it, which means at no point did he ever consciously think of like, "I'm not going to make it a woman," but he did unconsciously think it's going to be a man.
Well,
and the idea that you, because he made it with him as the male person making it, he automatically went, It's a guy.
I'll accept that for him and his Legend of Zelda stuff.
Most games are like that,
but
though.
When at the age that we're in now,
And
but
you think
who's
about
writing most games?
Yeah, it's all males, definitely. But still, like a man has never made a female character, and
have they made a convincing real one?
But I mean,
so
they're just
look at all like either
overly
movies,
sexualized
movies which fail the one test that you need to put to have a compelling female character is as long as they have one conversation not about men, they will succeed, and most movies fail that.
What are you talking about here?
There's I forget what the test is called, but it's a test named after these researchers that looked at movies and tried to find real or compelling or like actual female characters in movies. And there were like one requirement was that not all conversations between the two female characters in it, not all of them are about like either the male lead or a man or something like that.
Most movies fail
that test.
So. Well, if you flip the situation, then is it the same thing? I mean,
it is not the same thing.
So a guy in a movie and having a conversation, they're just having a conversation about just random stuff if they're not the lead?
Yes, they are. They'll be brought in as either comedy relief and it won't be about something else. It'll be for another reason. It won't be that they're talking about the female lead.
I would love
lead
to see that research
like that.
In the movies that they...
All right, I'm sure I can find it and link it to you later.
Please. Intriguing conversation. We got to move on. The new UK law protects gamers from faulty games. Have you guys
I live in America,
checked up on
matter.
That? Well, I mean,
it sets
if
a precedent,
it works
though.
Out, it could. We could see this change happening here. Basically, there's a law that
also it forces the people who are going to release stuff in the UK to actually make good games.
Sort
so
of.
So unless they
does
start
it to make good games,
games that aren't
that's
re-
subjective.
Broken.
Okay,
read the game. I mean, read the
working
the
games.
Working
sorry.
Games. There you go. Thank you. Consumer law is changing in the UK as the Consumer Rights Act comes into play on October 1st, 2015. The new law states that anyone who buys a faulty good game, including digital purchases in the UK, is entitled to a full refund. Up to 30 days after purchase.
So glitches and stuff like that, right?
Glitches.
Bugs,
would this,
glitches.
Would this protect against games of that are releasing but then don't ever release kind of thing? But you were
early access games?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good question.
I mean, would that be a protection against that, I wonder?
Probably not because it's a release, right?
Some of those don't ever release. They just stay in
that's fine. They were never a final product. They were never feature complete final product shipped.
But you
so
pay
then
for
why
the
wouldn't
final
anybody?
Product.
Your fault.
Why? Yeah, that's definitely. Yeah. Why wouldn't anybody? That's just going to make the developers and all that stuff just switch up the name. Like, well, this is an early release of our game.
Hold They're
up,
all early release.
Up, You're going to get
everything's
hold up,
beta.
Hold up, hold up. Okay, hold up. We got to get to the bottom line of this one. So we're going to go round robin one by one and talk about our thoughts on this. New law in the UK, starting with Alex.
Good. I like it because it'll help bring accountability for people who release things.
Would you like to see it here?
Depends on how well it does in the UK.
All
right. I'd like to like do like a beta version of it in the UK, and then we can put the final release one here in America.
Aaron, what do you think?
Irrelevant. It will never come to the US. Developers would just get smart and call it pre-release games or early access games.
Larissa?
Yeah. I agree with him.
Because it's going to affect you still working at GameStop. You're going to have people coming back all the time. The character got stuck in a wall.
No,
okay, so
no.
Let
that'll
me tell
be,
you.
That'll be company refund. That'll be company refund, not retailer refund.
Yeah.
Okay. So
this is only digital?
No. Yeah, that's what they said. Okay. They said digital goods specifically.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, we also sell digital goods.
I know, but it'll go from the person that you're actually getting the thing from, not
so
you who bought it.
It would reimburse. That'd be nice.
All right. Well, without any further ado, we got to get to our interview. The interview is going to be with Katrina Law. You may know her from Spartacus. She showed her boobies. You'll know her from...
Really?
That's the one. Everybody
we
did.
Do all this women talk.
It's funny because literally those comments are the things that make it pervasive and okay.
Oh, really?
You just said
yes, no.
And I have no idea.
The little things like that. Where, like, the idea that you emphasize that over any of her other work.
I know.
That little thing
way to
makes
make me
it
feel so
okay.
Bad going into the interview.
Your words well, came out
of I can't wait to hear the rest.
There's plenty of dongs in there, too. So it's even. Right? Jupiter's cock. It's going to be a great interview. So sit back, relax, and check it out. All right. Corey Vinson here with Video Game Bang and NerdReactor.com. And I am on the line with none other than the beautiful, talented, amazing, all that other stuff. Katrina Law, how are you doing?
I'm really cool, especially after that intro. I feel like I need to take a shower right now. Oh my gosh.
Oh, wow. Now I will now too. Thank you. Katrina, you, this is an honor for me to talk to you. We've been fans of your career. I'm going to say probably since Spartacus, when you first jumped on our radar. And since then, we talked to you. We were leading the campaign to get you to be Elektra in Daredevil. Did those talks ever happen? Were you almost Elektra, or was there anything like that happening?
No, I wasn't even allowed to audition for it.
Oh, no way. Is it because of the arrow?
I have no idea, actually. But I think the girl that they cast looks really cool, and I'm hoping that she does a great job. And because I love Daredevil, so I'm hoping that it's just as good as season two as it was season one.
You were a fan of season one?
Yeah, huge fan of season one. Also, Steven DeKnight, who's the showrunner of season one Daredevil, was also the showrunner of Spartacus. So it's kind of like rooting for our industry family to succeed.
Do you see yourself like that? Like when you knew, because clearly you knew they were going to do an Elektra, did you think to yourself, man, I can kill that spot? Man, that should be me up there. Does a part of you really want it?
Oh, yeah, of course. Who doesn't want to be Elektra? I feel.
Me?
I think, oh, well, maybe. Is it because of the outfit? You just didn't want to wear the outfit?
I could not sport that outfit.
I'm sure you would have looked fantastic. But no, you know, there are definitely roles out there where you just go, oh, you know, especially for someone who isn't, who it has made a, what am I saying? So especially for somebody who has Asian heritage in there, there are very few roles that are specifically written for that type of a person in the DC world. So unless all of a sudden the DC comics or the movies decide to kind of do an overhaul of the character or go out on the limb and just change the identity, Psylocke and Elektra were pretty close. And I know Elektra was essentially Greek, but I could have pulled it off.
Oh, yeah, you could have killed it. You would have crushed it. Yeah, we were making lists and stuff, our top 10 Elektras, and you were definitely my number one. It's
well,
so exciting to talk
you
to you because I know I was leading the campaign. I didn't know there was the rules and stuff. I should have known there's the red tape holding it off. So your first acting gig, as told by IMDb, which is never wrong, it says that you were a teen. I think that's what you're billed as is in Lucky Numbers with John Travolta. Was that true? Is that your first gig?
I wasn't my first gig. I technically did an Asian movie when I was 10 with Chow Yun-fat. And I guess that was my first one. But I feel like my mom got me that somehow. I'm so young, I kind of didn't understand what was happening. But yeah, I think that was my first role, and I was actually an extra on it. And in the middle of November in Harrisburg, PA, I volunteered to jump into the river like it was summer on an air tube, and I was so excited to be an extra that I was stoked and happy to do it. And then when I found out that they were staying in town, I basically asked the production coordinator, the extras coordinator, if there was a way for me to stay on in PA, and I would do it free, and I would just kind of. So I just wanted to experience the entire world of movie making because I'd never done it before. And I was thinking at that time of going into the industry, but I didn't even know if I liked the world. So the guy was like, yeah, sure, you can stay on and help. And by the end of it, Nora Ephron actually offered me the role of the teenager screaming at John Travolta, and that's how I ended up getting my SAG card. So it was a really cool, positive experience. And by the end of it, I was like, I love this industry. And yes, I will willingly work 12 to 14 hours a day without complaint. So I loved it.
Did you meet Travolta on the set?
Oh, yeah. I met Travolta. Got to yell at him. Because I was a PA, you know, I got to bring his assistant coffee so they could get him coffee. It was a lot of fun. And he was very, very nice. He was a very nice man.
Do you think if you saw him today, he would make that recognition because clearly, he'd have to know who you are now, and then if he saw you, would he be like, hey, you were teen girl screamer?
I don't know. He was busy working, and I was busy trying to figure out life. So I feel like we were on two different planes, and I passed him, but I my experience with him was mainly watching him interact with everybody else and watching him be super nice to his assistant, to the crew around him, and to the director, and just in general, just be an upstanding man. So, kind of watching him from afar.
You've evolved over from so much from that. It looks like early 2000s into now, you pretty much are just like one of the go-to, I think, like bombshell kick-ass ladies in the industry. Like, if you need someone to beat people up.
Oh, my God.
How did you get that? Is that you personally?
I love you for that.
Do you train martial arts? I'm sorry. Do you train martial arts or did you just get this role? How did you get work your way into this?
Well, I think most of it comes from I was a dancer. So I've been dancing since I was three. So picking up fight choreography was very similar to picking up dance choreography. And that kind of came easy. So I think it just goes hand in hand that if somebody has to teach a fight, a person how to fight to make it look believable, you have to have a little bit of coordination with your body. So that was very easy for me. But I do have a black belt in Taekwondo. But I feel like Taekwondo is easy because of my dance as well.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how effective my Taekwondo is, but I have a black belt.
When did you do, when did you achieve your black belt in Taekwondo?
I think when I was 18, 19, something like that. So it was fairly good. So again, I don't really know how effective it was, but I definitely went through the process of getting it. I do know that if I kick you in the head, that will hurt. That's all I know.
With the martial arts background, black belt, are we going to see you make an MMA debut, take on Ronda Rousey?
Oh, my gosh. If I saw Ronda Rousey, which I already have, but if she ever actually came at me aggressively, I think I would just see my parents and start crying.
She is brutal. Now, here's my claim to fame. I have a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon to you. Since I am also friends with, we have a mutual friend in common, Ivy Doom Kitty.
Oh, Ivy! I love Ivy!
I know. One of the I talked to her about Trek Isolation, and she's been on our show a few times, and I see her at the conventions all the time, and we were talking, and like, I said, how did you guys get Michael Rooker and Katrina Law to be a part of this film? And then she kind of went through the backstory on how you guys met.
Yeah, well, I was doing a charity fundraising event for Kitchen Theater, which is a nonprofit animal rescue organization. And what we do is we get celebrities to take photos with kittens, and then we sell the photograph and the autograph for a profit. And then all of those profits outside of shipping and handling and the printing of the photo goes directly to Kitchen Theater, which then goes directly to rescuing animals from kill shelters, finding them forever homes, getting them the medical treatment that they need. And I have a friend who is one of the assistants to Stan Lee, and I had originally asked her, do you think Stan would be interested in doing that? And she said, yes. And, of course, Stan did his photo, and it was amazing. And then she was like, well, if you want other people to participate, I have a whole list of people that I know. And I was like, okay. And Ivy was one of them, as well as Michael Rooker. And both of them posed for photos, and their photos really kept going like hotcakes. And Ivy Doom Kitty is one of the nicest, down-to-earth, sincere women, strong, that I've ever met. She's just beautiful. And I love her to death. And Michael Rooker, man, you want to talk about charm. That man is a charming, charming man. He walked in, and every person just felt like they were $1 million and just covered in glitter by the end because he was so wonderful.
Oh, yeah. You hear kind of horror stories about Rooker. There's, like, notions about him out there, you know, that he's a wild, loose cannon. And I got to interview him at San Diego Comic-Con this last year. So I was terrified. And he was actually the most fun to meet in person. He was super laid back. He's nowhere near what his reputation is billed as.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I've never actually heard a bad thing about Rooker, but I can see how you might be intimidated by him because he's so out there and just wild and fun. So I guess if that's not your cup of tea, then yeah, he might scare the crap out of you.
Yeah, he was awesome. So talking about Trek Isolation, did you already do the filming on that?
No, I haven't. We're still trying to work out scheduling. It's been kind of a process, so hopefully that comes together. But up until then, there's nothing to report on yet.
Nothing to report on. All right. Yeah, talking to Ivy about that story, she mentioned how she was approached via email and kind of like, because you're Katrina Law, you can't just come out, you know, and start messaging people. I guess it kind of had to be on the side type of deal. And she told me she just could not believe it. It was super exciting because she was a fan of yours beforehand.
And, aww.
I remember hearing that story and just thinking, man, Katrina Law is so freaking cool. So let's talk about your most recent role. Let's see. I believe it's Death Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And your character is unlike other things we've seen you in.
Yeah, I play a character named Annie Gunn, and she is a young Hollywood wannabe starlet who is not quite succeeding in the way that she would like to succeed. So I think in a last effort, desperation attempt, she ends up befriending Billy Rich, who is one of the most powerful producers in Hollywood, and throughout the night of debauchery, she manages to convince him to marry her. And the two of them, including two other characters who they just met that night as well, all decide to drive out to Vegas to go witness this wedding. And while they are on their way to the wedding in Vegas, all sorts of shenanigans end up happening in the desert that aren't good.
So when a buddy of mine who was reviewing the film told me, like, Katrina Law's character is so different. Like, it must have been, it just seems so different from what other roles we see you in. Like you said, it was like you're playing a kind of a shyster type of character using her good looks to get what she wants. Was that a difficult mindset to put yourself? Are you glad to take a role like this that's kind of different from your badass beat 'em up character roles?
Yeah, you know, I love playing Anna Gunn. I'm never going to complain about getting typecast because that means I'm being cast and that means I'm working. So I will always be thankful for that. And luckily for me, when I get typecast, it is for the badass female kick-ass roles. And I want those forever because they're just fun. But at the same time, because by nature, actors, we are artists, we want to create different roles and different worlds. And you don't get into acting for any kind of creative field for the stability of it. You get into it for the creativity side. So it's so fulfilling to be able to go out there and do something that's not necessarily considered to be in my wheelhouse. To one, keep myself interesting and fresh and just kind of keep myself entertained, but also at the same time to let people know that I can do other stuff and yeah. But playing Annie was a lot of fun. She's just flighty, and there are times where she's ditzy, and another times where she's just super manipulative, and then just aggressive and angry. But, I love having characters where, because a lot of times when you play the serious badass action chick, you don't just smile a lot, if that makes sense. So just kind of being able to be sassy and not really care about anything other than yourself is a lot of fun, and especially in those roles, because it's just, she's just completely out for herself, and watching her manipulate everybody throughout the course of the movie is entertaining.
Now, yes, it's a video game podcast. We like to talk about the video games. Do you have time in your schedule to break away and actually play video games and relax in that way?
Sadly, no. Probably fortunate for myself, I've never actually made it off of the first border of Super Mario Brothers. there's that. I'm a mean bubble breaker though. Can I break some bubbles? But no, recently I feel like I did some false advertising. Just recently, so I've been convinced to go out and get this game, and I don't even know if it's a computer game or if it's like a PlayStation or whatever, but it's League of Legends.
Oh, no. Stay away, Katrina Law.
Stay away? Why is it bad?
It's a very difficult learn curve. You don't just go from first level of Mario and Bubble Bobble to League of Legends, because the community is so bad. Like, if you really want to hear a 15-year-old call you profanities all day, that's
okay. I can't hear you anymore.
Oh no.
Okay, there you are.
Is that better? Okay, yeah. The game, little kids like to call you profanities. It's a very steep learning curve. It's got a toxic kind of community to it. I would stick to the bubble breaker.
Okay. Well, if there was a video game that I should play, what would you suggest?
You know, this is funny you ask, because it's one of my favorites of all time, and I saw your name on the credits, so we may have to talk about it. Red Dead Redemption. Is that Were you really a voice actor? Because it said like pedestrians and background characters.
Okay, yeah. No, I have no idea how my name got associated with that. But then again, I have no control over my IMDb other than like a photo that I put up. So that one's not true.
Okay, because it didn't make sense. I was like, Katrina Law, you don't go from these big titled shows and then she's pedestrian number three. So I wanted to clarify that one. And if we can make adjustments, I know there's people listening to this. If you know how to adjust that thing, take her name off that.
Yeah, I don't know. I put in requests and they've been ignored. So I really appreciate IMDb for the business that they are and what they do for the acting community and how easy they are and accessible, but sometimes their information is wrong. So.
Yeah. So is there another actress or a piece of work that you get mistaken for more than any other?
Let's see. The most popular is Lucy Liu and Olivia Munn.
Oh, okay. I can see the Olivia Munn one. I can see that.
Mm-hmm. And then, what is her name? Julia, she was in Legends of the Fall, and then also Mrs. Easton, Sabrina. Julia Ormond, is that her name?
Voth?
Ormond, yeah, I think so.
Okay. So how do you react? Do you play along with it, or do you say, no, excuse me, have you seen Spartacus and Arrow? That's me.
Well, fortunately, I don't get too many, oh my gosh, you're Olivia Munn. But I get, do you know what you look like? And I get it, because she's half Asian as well, so I guess we put all half Asians in the same category, and we do sort of kind of look alike, so I don't get mad about these things, but she's also really pretty and super hot, so I'm just going to take it as a compliment.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's definitely a compliment, because, you know, if someone walked up to me and said, oh, you look a lot like Brad Pitt, I'd take that as a compliment.
And you'd be like, and thank you.
It was so awesome to talk to you. I don't want to take up too much of your time. What are you promoting right now? What's the one everyone's got to go see? Is it Death Valley?
Death Valley is coming out on October 20th, so that's going to be fun and exciting because we filmed that maybe 2 years ago. So it would be nice to see them get off the ground and start running again. And then I also just finished up a Christmas movie for Hallmark, which will be airing sometime around Thanksgiving, called The 12 Gifts of Christmas. And that is a complete departure from just about everything that I do. Because nobody dies, I get the guy, I'm happy.
So what was it like working on a Hallmark series? Is that's got to be pretty different. Is it a whole different setup, or is it the same people?
It's definitely a different setup because you're shooting a movie in 17 days, and that's just epic days. So all of a sudden, you're flying to page after page. but I personally love it because, again, I do, most of the time I'm doing really dark, gritty stuff. So it's nice to be on a Hallmark movie where everybody's just happy and it's lighthearted, and you know, people just have a good time on these things, and it's such a nice departure from the dark, gritty stuff.
So you didn't get to punch one person.
No, I petitioned for it, but then Hallmark was like, no.
I'm so interested in the Taekwondo stuff. I mean, was that something that you really wanted to do? Was that you following like a dream? Did you want to do it competitively or anything?
No, my parents are definitely the type of parents that I was a very, very hyper child, that they started throwing me into as many activities as possible to tucker me out by the end of the day. But then once they kind of saw, they also have this policy where they wouldn't buy me gifts. They wouldn't buy me clothes, like, other than the essentials. They wouldn't buy me designer clothes or extravagant things. But what they would do is pay for experiences. So if I suddenly said, I want guitar lessons, they would have no issues paying for guitar lessons as long as I studied and practiced. And I think one day it was the same thing with karate, where I was dancing, and somebody was like, oh, that would be kind of look like you could do martial arts. And I was like, well, do you want to try? And I said, sure. And sure enough, I was good at it, and I got my black belt. So I think it was just kind of wanting to do everything and see what it was like, and just kind of the curiosity as to what's out there that kind of like Taekwondo.
You still have a good relationship with your parents? Are they still helping you, guiding you through your career currently?
Kind of. They're definitely supportive and they want the best for me. But I think like any parents, up until recently, they were just like, are you sure? Are you eating? Have you made any money? So like, well, kind of. So there was definitely that going along. So now I feel like that I've gotten a little bit more success under my belt. They've been relaxing a little bit and just being able to enjoy the process. Whereas before they're like, do you need to come home? Do you need any money? Are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm fine. So yeah, they're great.
Well, you also do some risque photo shoots, and you did the whole nudity deal in Spartacus. Does that upset? Was that a thing? Was that an issue with your family?
No, I did ask permission from my parents and then also my fiance at the time. If I did this, would they disown me? And all three of them said, "No, we love you, support you. If you feel this is something that you're willing to do and you'd be proud of it, and you're doing it for the right reasons, then." You're a grown woman, you can do what you want. I did warn them to not watch the first episode that I was in with any friends or people around, because that would be awkward. But
yeah.
I think besides my personal nudity in Spartacus, my dad loved the series, and he would just call me this. So, what's happening with this character? What's that character? Oh my God, I feel like this should happen in my job. Dad is like totally fanboying out right now. So they loved it. My mom wasn't as much into the show. She didn't like the violence of it. I don't think nudity actually offended her, but I think the amount of blood spilled was a little difficult for her to take.
That was a great series, though.
Yeah, and then I did do a photo shoot with TJ Scott, who's also the director of Death Valley, where some of the photos were a little risque, but it was for an in-house coffee table book where all proceeds go to breast cancer research.
So oh, wow.
For something like that. And the book is beautiful. He's an amazing photographer. Kelly, like most of the cast of Spartacus is in the book. Kelly Hugh, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on everybody's names, but there's so many people in that book. It's a beautiful book. So if you want to check it out, it's in the tub. You can get it on Amazon Books, and also it goes towards breast cancer research.
That is so cool. So you don't regret anything like that you've done in that capacity, and are you still open to do that in the future what's the guidelines?
Well, I feel like the reason why Spartacus struck me as cool was because one, I got to see one of the episodes before I signed on, so I knew how beautifully it was shot. So I trusted that they were going to protect me and make me look as good as possible. And airbrush out any flaws.
is that really a big deal in the industry for that? Is there people that are synonymous for making you look bad?
You know, there's just some shows that are just shot a little harshly. You know, when you put it all out there, you know you're going to get feedback. So you try to minimize the feedback because people can be harsh. The last thing you want to do is like knowingly put yourself out onto something that you know is going to look like crap in the first place. So yeah, like I think people wouldn't want to do something for the art of it and then have it be turned into something ugly, if that makes sense. But also, the amount of penises that were shown on Spartacus was pretty much equal to the amount of boobage and stuff that was happening. So I feel like if it's equal opportunity, I'm down. But when it comes to a woman walking around naked while a man is in a three-piece suit, I find that offensive. So, fair is fair. If everybody's doing it, then cool, let's do it. But if it's just the women that are being exposed and objectified, then no. But also, as Spartacus, the scenes that I did do that were either nude or semi-partially nude, it was about control and humiliation and being forced into the life of slavery. And even though it is a pop culture show, and you know, I do think that they did a good job, at least with my character depicting that whenever this was happening, it was because she was being forced to, and it wasn't of her own choice. And it went along with the storyline really well.
Do you keep up with any other members from the cast of that? Because I know you, other characters showed up on Arrow. Did you get to catch up with them? And was that?
Yeah, I feel like most of the cast of Spartacus have kept up with each other. And, you know, a lot of us are really good friends. Dan Fiergel, Nick Carraway, Peter Mensah, Alan Holman, and Anna Hutchinson. Yeah, we've all kind of kept in touch, and Jenna Lind, and yeah, it's a pretty good family.
And you're one of these actors who's really kind of jumped into the community, and you do a lot of the con circuit. Can you talk a little bit about that experience and how do you think it's helped your career?
Yeah, you know, I love the conventions. I think it's fun to be able to go out there and interact with the fans, and say hi and say thank you for supporting my career and for watching these shows. And then I think the most rewarding part is getting to hear the stories about how certain shows have impacted their lives or how certain characters have brought them hope. Just recently, I got an email from a man who recognized me in an airport who was my waiter, and he didn't say anything at the time, but he basically wrote an email to my manager saying, by the way, please pass this on, but I was really sick a couple of years ago, and I was on death's door. I was about 50 pounds lighter than when she just saw me, and because of Spartacus, I watched that show, and it just made me get that fighting spirit back, and it made me want to fight for my life, and it really brought me out of a dark time period, and he basically asked me to pass the message on to the other Spartacus cast members. And then with my Nissa character, I can't tell you how many young ladies have come out just saying, well, I'm a lesbian, and I didn't know how to tell my parents, and I didn't want to come out because before the superhero character came out, it just made it seem acceptable and cool, and therefore gave them the confidence to be able to stand openly and proudly as what they are. So when you hear stories like that in person, it just means so much to me. It really gives my career choice and my life a meaning, and it's rewarding. Wow. But then also just getting to see all the cosplay is amazing. So there's that.
That is so cool. Thank you so much for your time. You already plugged the movies you're in. Where are you going to be at? Are you doing any cons around here so people can come see you?
I don't know where you are, actually, but I'm doing Grand Rapids, Michigan in 2 weekends from now. And, yeah, that's about it right now.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, Katrina. That was so awesome. I was super excited and very nervous to do this interview. You made me chill out, though, because you were so awesome. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Well, I hope you have a great day and enjoy the season premiere.
Oh, heck yeah.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
All right, bye.
Bye. I really appreciate how you guys were very quiet during the interview. Thank you guys for that. It's like you guys weren't even there.
You're welcome.
It's like we were never there at all.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I was very nervous during that.
Why?
I could hear it.
Because
your voice.
It's Katrina Law, man.
When we heard you
talking. I've been a fan of her just for now. A very long time.
I guess. I mean, for, Katrina Law. I don't know who would, I don't know who would get
me. Would you ever be starstruck talking to anybody?
I think you've asked him this before, and I think you said no.
I told you only one person
who
that got me starstruck.
Ooh.
And David Yortson from the developer for
former developer.
He met him and was starstruck.
But I still spoke to the guy. Like, I wasn't nervous about.
Well, I'm not saying there's like no talking when you're starstruck. It's like you don't know what to say, so you say a dumb thing, and then you're like, first to pee your pants.
Yeah, I didn't feel that with him, so I guess I wasn't starstruck. I was just excited, like, oh, cool, it's the guy that makes the game that I really want to play. And now he's not even.
Where'd he go? Do you even know?
I still follow him on Twitter. He's been traveling with his daughter.
So he got wicked burnout, and he's like, "All right, f this noise, I'm out."
Not even.
He's traveling with his daughter. Like, that's the best thing ever.
Is he gonna turn into Peter Molyneux? Having his kid reveal what the next game
sad, man, because that game had so much self hype on me. Like, I was just like,
"No, I know." It was fun to dream for a while, wasn't it?
It was
good. It felt good.
I don't even see any more updates from it.
No.
Like, nothing.
They made an update a month or three ago. Like 2 to 3 months
it's
ago, maybe.
So
and but they said they were moving focus from Landmark to EQ Next. And that's so, it. That's so, all we've gotten.
So defeated.
Oh, man. It was fun to dream.
It gave me hope for the gaming future.
Yeah.
Nope. I was like, this is where it's going.
The only thing that I can say good about that is that from the ashes of that promise, other developers might be inspired on a more personal level, like smaller developers, sure. Mm-hmm. But if they can do something that works like that, if they can just choose one facet of that and work with it, I think they could make it.
I don't want one facet.
Chris
of
Elliott,
it.
You're funny.
I want.
What?
She said you look like Chris Elliott.
Yeah, whatever. white people.
That's just racism.
Says it.
But
Ceramic Dragon says it.
Oh yeah, white people.
So, I don't know. It pissed me off though, because that game, like I said, it was going in such a great direction. From
was
what
it?
I
was
saw,
it actually? From was it actually I saw. Going? I feel like it didn't actually. I think it just started. It was not
the trailer
I,
for
so
the
it's
classes.
Like a,
you remember that? I know you remember the gameplay trailer for the classes.
Where they fall through the earth because of the thing?
No, not that one. The one where they individually showed you what the classes were going to do and why they're going to be different from what you know as the norm in MMOs and stuff like that. You didn't see those?
I had already become worried. my spider senses started tingling, and I was like, no, I can't get into invested in this game because I'll just this will be it.
I bought stock.
No, you did not.
He was very high on it. If you
it
go back and listen to our E3 coverage of the first one we did, he was
all about it.
He was all about that game. They took him, they wined him, they dined
they
him.
They sure did.
They 69'd him. It was terrible.
How do you know?
I heard stories.
I went up to their penthouse suite.
He got paid to watch.
He got to. Yeah.
I went up to their penthouse suite.
I had
and
to pay.
Played
to
the
watch.
Game and everything. And
played the
this
game.
This is how it was.
The game of love.
This is how it was. When, because it was, what is Sony's H1Z1? What is their?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
The developer for that game, he was showing me the game. So we had PlanetSide 2, H1Z1.
EQ Next.
EQ Next. And we were playing H1Z1, and he's like, I know I developed this game, but have you seen what they're doing over there with that game? Like, I was just like, yeah, I know. Why are we playing this again? Like, let's go over there and get on the sticks over there, bro. Like,
you and me, let's go play this together, dude.
I know you developed this, but whatever. It's zombies. Let's over there.
Seriously, though,
whatever.
The real zombies, dude. They had like an open for it or whatever, right? A big old tournament for it or some crap.
Did they?
I don't. Yeah, they
it's,
did. I don't know.
H1N1. It's the bird flu. Get it out of here.
I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show. Those who are in the live chat, those who are listening for the very first time, maybe, and if that's you. There's places where you can get a hold of us to
gross.
Keep up with
not
the,
physically.
No, not physically.
Okay.
You do not
please don't
want
touch
that.
Me.
Don't.
Okay, there's places that you can
Twitter.com at VideoGameBang, Facebook.com/VideoGameBang, Patreon.com if you want to support the show financially. I doubt a first-time listener would want to do this. So this is for the long-term people out there, the guys who really love the show. You guys can go to patreon.com/VideoGameBang. Help support us with a monthly donation.
It does directly impact it. I've seen it even.
Yeah.
Even.
If you would have seen, we should go to the episode where we first opened the Patreon to the stuff we have now. It's pretty amazing, and there's a lot more stuff we can do. I want to thank Alexander Van Bagensmeener.
Yeah.
I want to thank Larissa.
Yeah.
I want to thank Aaron.
No.
Oh, wow.
Everybody else said yeah, so I might as well go. Opposite.
I really want to thank Katrina Law for taking the time out of her busy Hollywood schedule to hang out and talk to the VGB, even though these guys were very quiet during that. Were you guys all starstruck? Is that
I had nothing to add to the conversation.
Yeah.
I still don't know who she is.
That's terrible.
Oh, man.
I was looking at pictures of her boobs, was not talking. That's what happened.
Oh.
That comes later.
Wow.
If you guys are in Sacramento, Northern California, and you guys like the show and you want to come hang out with us, you can check us out on December 13th at the Scottish Rite Center in Sacramento, California. We are special guests at Sat Gamer Sexpo.
Sexpo.
Oh, Sat Gamer Expo. I always
there
read their
you
I
go.
Read their URL wrong all the time. When you slam those words together, Sat Gamer Expo, they just announced that Roger Craig Smith is going to be on the bill.
The voice actor himself?
The voice actor. He's been on our show 2 times.
How many times
so
you guys
be on our show 3 times?
I can't wait.
Yay.
Multi-panel bonus.
Aaron's favorite, Andre Meadows, is going to be on the show. Sean Long is going to be there. It's going to be an awesome show. So if you are in the area, greater Sacramento area, we want to hang out with you guys. That is going to be on December 13th.
Even if you're in the lesser Sacramento area.
Yep.
Zero Evidence wants to know, why is the whole internet here?
Oh, well, Zero Evidence needs to know that the show is now over. You can catch us this weekend for Aaron Carter's Weekend Bang. See you guys later.
Wow.
You made it sound dirty.